Well, we're privileged to have Stacy Baker with us today. I really appreciate Stacy. I wish we could spend more time together. Sometimes when you're close in proximity, you don't wind up spending as much time as you'd like, but I appreciate him on a number of levels for a number of reasons and for what God is using him to do at Alpha and the men's ministry that has started there. And so we have been able to be part of Alpha for quite a while and so thrilled to be able to help in any way we can. I told him this morning, I said, sometimes I struggle with how much are we actually helping Alpha? You know, do we send them enough money? Do we have enough volunteers? We may not have all those resources, but I know one thing is that we pray for them, we care about them, and whatever we can do to help, that's what we want to do. And so we appreciate Stacy and Kristen and the kids being here today. And I joked with him, we were joking around. I said, we would give everybody sunglasses because the bald head. We're so thrilled to have Stacy. He's a good friend. He's a good man. And we're thrilled to have you today at Whitneyville Bible Church.
Thanks, Dave. You stole my joke, so. Got to try to come up with one on the fly now. No, don't apologize. Thank you for having me. On behalf of Alpha, and just an opportunity to come out and share with you what we do, but even just an opportunity to, I guess, declare that I'm a missionary. You know, I don't think in those terms, but I was speaking with Gabriel earlier, and he asked the question. He said, "So, are you a missionary?" And I thought, "Yeah, I am." Well, what does that mean? Most often you hear missionaries, they go out across the seas or across the waters, but we're sort of across the bridge or down the road. But nevertheless, it's the same. And if I can be biased, I'm partial to my own backyard. And I think that you ought to be as well. Because I think there are many times that people think only those out there across the waters need Jesus. I need Jesus. You need Jesus. Amen. My backyard, your backyards need Jesus. So thank you for allowing me and my children and my wife, my lovely wife of 13 years, to be here and to share in the Word of God with you. Alpha decided that they needed a bald, sexy... I had to come back. I knew if I threw sexy in there, that'll get a bunch of chuckles. The one guy on the 16-person staff. And so... you probably can imagine our morning meetings are rather different. Our noonday meetings are rather different. And then they let me go home. But again, thank you for allowing us to be here. I'm reminded of a story. A young girl and her mom or dad lived on the coastal of Florida, and there was a hurricane storm approaching, and they realized that they needed to get to the mainland. Her mom decided, hey, we need to get down to Aunt Uncle's house, which is just down the road, before water begins to pour into our home. And so they did. They dashed out the door down to Auntie and Uncle's house. They made it. And the four of them hugged and really, really appreciated that no one had gotten hurt during the storm. But they also realized that as the water began to proceed and come up to their home, it was the Auntie and the Uncle's home that was going to take water soon. They realized that they needed, again, to get to the mainland before it got worse. And so they all jumped into Uncle's truck. And the bridge that they had crossed numerous times seemed so far away, but they thought, we could make it. And as they were driving, the road in front of them became hard to see. And the uncle mistakenly dashed into the ditch. Water began to fill the truck very quickly. And they realized if they hadn't gotten out, if they didn't get out, they would soon drown. They got out. And they began to run toward the bridge. They crossed, and they safely got over. Water, waist deep, they still weren't safe. But there was a home with a light shining in the window, and they talked amongst themselves, if only we could get to that light. It was a candle that the family had placed in the window for that very reason, that if anyone needed somewhere to go, it would be this light that would get them there. They made it. They made it. And it was that one candle that allowed them to see their way through the water. In the same way that this candle had given a glimmer of hope to this family in need, so too we are called to be the light in the midst of darkness, in the midst of chaos, in the midst of catastrophe, if you will, to give hope, to share Jesus, the light of the world. And we're to do that because there are dying individuals, not just physically, but spiritually. And this light reminds us from this window of the same light that Moses was instructed to adorn the tabernacle with within the book of Leviticus. Leviticus chapter 24. Will you turn with me there? Leviticus chapter 24. Starting at verse 1, the Lord said to Moses, command the Israelites to bring your clear oil of pressed olives for the light so that the lamps may be kept burning regularly outside the curtain that shields the Ark of the Covenant law in the tent of meeting. Aaron is to tend the lamps before the Lord from evening to morning regularly. This is to be a lasting ordinance for the generations to come. The lamps on the pure gold lampstand before the Lord must be tended regularly. Leviticus chapter 24 opens with God directing Moses to instruct the people of Israel to supply the lampstands housed in the tabernacle with olive oil, that they would continuously burn as the priests performed their daily duties. God chose Israel to be a community of people systematically placed to shine the light of redemption to all the surrounding nations, that they would point to the one true God. Deuteronomy echoes this with Israel in chapter 7, verse 6, that Israel would suggest that they would be the treasured possession of Yahweh. And in turn, those who were in opposition to God would be pointed again to the one and true living God. Not only was Israel strategically placed and positioned, but the tabernacle was also. tabernacle sat directly in the middle of the camp of Israel. This was intentional, as it would be a constant reminder to Israel that God was at the center of their community. And so we have the golden lampstand. And the golden lampstand was placed inside the holy place so that the priests could see, but also they would continue their work mediating on behalf of the community. Again, we see in Leviticus chapter 24, and Israel, the chosen people of God, would be the first to experience the goodness of God and to share that same goodness with the people around them. Upon entering the holy place in the tabernacle, it's the golden lampstand, affectionately known as a menorah. The menorah that would help us understand how we're to be a light in a dark world, a world in so desperate need of a Savior, a world in so desperate need of rescuing, a world in so desperate need of redemption. Redemption from a broken, plagued, nasty sin. Our hearts are contaminated. In fact, Genesis simply says that in the beginning, every inclination of the heart of man was evil all the time. Friends, we need a Savior. I recognize this every day I wake up in the morning. Yes, I love Jesus, but there are moments my heart wants to turn in the opposite direction. And if you're true and honest with yourselves, I would surmise that we're all the same in one respect, that sometime our hearts turn us in the opposite direction of wanting to go after the things that are opposite of God. And if it wasn't for the grace of our Savior, there go I, and there you go. Let me call our attention to the idea that it's imperative we be the light. We be the light, as this missions conference is so adequately called. So lead me to my first point, if you will. We are in a good place to not only keep our faith, but to share it with those around us. You are in a good place to not only keep your faith, but to share it with those around you. The golden lampstand was placed beyond the holy place, just before the Ark of the Covenant. The Ark of the Covenant represents the presence of God, and we too are positioned to be representatives of that light, not just in our immediate communities, but in areas of discomfort. I say areas of discomfort because Alpha sits in an area of discomfort. In fact, Alpha sits two blocks away from a young lady who was shot while she was sitting in her car. Alpha sits around the corner where a young man was gunned down. Alpha sits in the midst of crime. In fact, next door, the building that we're building was riddled with crime. Someone, a pedophile, lived in that building. Prostitution happened in that space. It was asbestos and lead and meth all in that space. The police frequent that space on a regular basis. Alpha sits in the midst of discomfort. And sometime, my friend, my friends, it's hard to drive, to get into our cars and visit places of discomfort because it makes us uncomfortable. It makes us uncomfortable because it causes or forces me to do things that I might not want to do. It causes me to have conversation with people who don't look like me, smell like me, do the things that I do. Being in discomfort pulls on me, and sometimes it pulls on me to the point where it's inconvenienced. But the light represents connection to God. I like where the light is stationed. soon as you get past the curtain, the holy place, the presence of God, the Ark of the Covenant. So the light, the menorah, sat in the presence of God. If the menorah sat in the presence of God, you and I ought to be the light of the world. We get that by being in the presence of God. So when I feel like I'm in a place of discomfort, I really am not in a place of discomfort because I have inside of me the one who makes it comfortable. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I like where the menorah is sitting because there are moments when I realize that I can't do it in my own strength. But because I'm in fellowship with God, my strength, my weak strength is made perfect in his weakness. The golden lampstand. In relation to the Ark of the Covenant, it not only gave the priest light for them to do what they were doing, but again, it was positioned that they would be in the presence of God for fellowship. Friends, this is what allows us to do what we can't, being in fellowship. The lampstand was not only not visible for anyone else except the priest, and the only time that they would see the lampstand was while they were in the presence of God in the tent. And the lampstand was not only shining to all people, but it was illuminating those who had a connection with God. Mark 2 says this, Jesus said to them, it's not the healthy who need a doctor, but it's the sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners. Friends, we have something that others need. There is a disease called sin that you and I have been healed from, but we need to take the antidote, if you will, to a dying, lost world that they might experience the same healing that you and I have experienced. The same healing that you and I experience on a regular basis. The same Savior that you and I call Jesus. Same Jesus who wiped tears away. Same Jesus who comforts. You're in a good place. I think you're in a good place to not only keep your faith, but to share it with those around you. The other thing I'd like for you to see with regards to Leviticus and the golden lampstand is you have what it takes to be fueled. You have what it takes to fuel your faith. Exodus 25 helps us understand this passage just a little more because it helps us see what detail is here. As Moses was preparing to build the tabernacle with the Israelites, he says this. He says, make a lampstand of pure gold. Hammer out its base and shaft. Make its flower-like cups, buds, and blossoms of one piece with them. Six branches are to extend from the sides of the lampstand, three on the one and three on the other. Three cups shaped like almond flowers with buds and blossoms are to be on the one branch, three on the next branch, and the same for all six branches extending from the lampstand. I think there is tree language, tree-like language here. That as you think through what a menorah looks like, and I'll show you a photo in just a moment, but you have this one lampstand, but out of that one lampstand are these branches. These branches are coming out of the lampstand, and I believe the writer might have had in mind this idea found in John 15 that Jesus is the vine, And by Jesus being the vine, you and I are part of the vine as branches, and we can't do anything without him, as the text would say. And so when I think of the golden lampstand being a part of the tabernacle, it is our source. It's what we, it's what fuels us. It's Jesus, the living water. I think the writer in Psalms might have had a thought when he thought, blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, but they are like a tree planted by streams of water, streams of the living water. The golden lampstand, you and I have what it takes to fuel our faith, but you and I have what it takes to help others and spur others on with the fuel, the living water, the oil that is found in the golden lampstand. There is a thought here. You go back to Leviticus, the word regularly comes up three times. Verse 2, the end of verse 2, the end of verse 3, and the end of verse 4. Regularly. There is this Hebrew word, tamid. And it simply means uninterrupted, to never be extinguished by day or night. So if I can give you a mental picture, you have Aaron and the other priests. They are to address the golden lampstands. They are to make sure that the oil never runs out, that the wick never loses its fire. And so they, evening and morning, they were to address the oil. They were to address the wick. You and I, friends, evening and morning, uninterrupted, we ought to be in constant fellowship, constant connection with God. I'm not suggesting that you and I ought to be Jesus freaks, as some probably are thinking. But it's this idea that Jesus is always on my mind. It's this idea to know that Jesus has me on his mind. Uninterrupted fellowship. Because of the sovereignty of God, he's placed us in strategic places in our communities. I don't care where you work. You are a missionary. I don't care where you go to school. You are a missionary. I don't care where you shop. You are a missionary. You are to minister the reconciliation of God and mankind everywhere you go by extending the gospel message. And that gospel message is simply the love of Jesus Christ. I and my good works could never do it, but it was through grace, by faith, that his blood paid for my sins. Friends, how is your life telling the truth about God? How is your life telling the truth about God? In your actions, how your encounters with people, is your life telling the truth about God? Is your marriage telling the truth about God? Performed the marriage 2 days ago, and one of the things I wanted a couple to know, or to at least walk away with, was that idea. That after this day is over with, after the planning has ended, after all the gifts have been collected and the money has been counted, after the honeymoon stage, After the starry eyes and the butterflies in my stomach, after it all has ended, how am I telling the truth about God in my interaction with you? Friends, the golden lampstand helps us see that there is a purpose for the golden lampstand. Not only when you think of gold being purified, but this idea of fire on a continuous basis, there is impurities being burned so that we can become more and more and more like our Father in heaven. The menorah, if I can just help you see just a little. So oil is I'm technologically savvy. So here oil is placed in these buds here. And you probably wonder, almond flour is what this is. You probably wonder, okay, well, what's so special about almond flour? And so the almond tree is one of the most important trees outside of the olive tree in the ancient Near Eastern culture. So while I was in Israel, I had an opportunity to see some individuals pressing olives. And so they were stomping on a makeshift machine, and it was crushing the olives, and it was squeezing oil out of the olives. In fact, perhaps you know this, but humor me if you will, the dish liquid that you and I use on a regular basis has olive oil in it, and it allows the greasiness or the soapiness of the soap to foam. I didn't know that, and so that was an aha moment for me. Most of the olives that we experience here in the U.S., they come, if not all, from the Middle East. But the idea here, the olive branch, is it when it blooms, it's a very pretty tree, but its oil is very expensive. It's very rich. And so it was part of one of the first fruits that would be presented in the tabernacle for offering. And so the oil being poured into this golden lampstand would continue to allow the wicks to burn. Friends, I think that is synonymous to us. And as we, in close proximity to God, being in constant fellowship with Him, we get the oil of the Holy Spirit that continues to replenish us, refresh us, so that we can be the light of the world. And our lights would never, never grow dim, but that we would continue to do what God has called and placed in us, and that is to be His representative in the world. Leviticus, the Lord said to Moses, command the Israelites to bring your pressed olives for the light, the lampstands. We want them to continue to burn regularly. Curtains that are there, Aaron is to tend the lamps before the Lord regularly. The lamps, they must be tended regularly. I think there's an idea embedded here from 1 John. That if we claim to have fellowship with God, we then therefore walk in the light. But if we don't, we're a liar. That's the other part of the text. And if we claim to have fellowship with Him, but we walk in darkness, we are not telling the truth. The point is to walk in the light. And we do that by remaining in constant fellowship with Him. John 15, I am the true vine, And if you remain in me, I in you, friends, we bear much fruit. Much fruit. Lastly, Leviticus chapter 20, verse 6 says this, that you are to be holy to me, because I, the Lord, am holy, and I have set you apart from the nations to be my own. It's interesting that he placed at the very hymn, in the very beginning, that you are to be holy to me. That the only way for us to do anything that comes after simply rests in the character of God. Him being holy, him being separate, him simply being other. And you and I ought to strive for that. My last point, simply practice living out your faith by declaring his praises wherever you go. Practice living out your faith by declaring his praises wherever you go. You and I are in a good place to not only keep our faith, but to share it with those around you. Why? Because you have what it takes. You have the oil of God living on the inside of you to fuel you. And therefore, that gives you the ammunition. That gives you the energy to practice out our faith by declaring his praises wherever we go. Deuteronomy says the same thing, picks up this point in chapter 7, verse 6. For you are a people holy to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you out of all the peoples on the face of the earth to be his people, his treasured, most treasured possession. Interesting how Scripture, unpacked Scripture, 1 Peter would say the same thing. But you are a chosen people. Let me remind you, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness and into his wonderful, marvelous light. Friends, you are the light of the world. Why a chosen people? Why a treasured possession? Why set apart? Friends, our lights are to never go out. God wants to use you and I as vessels for his glory. And that light that lives inside of us is the person of Jesus Christ, the power of the Holy Spirit. If I can encourage you to hold fast to your faith, to never, ever keep it to yourself. The one who was sacrificed once and for all and has given us the opportunity to receive the power of the Holy Spirit. He has declared that we would be his witnesses to a dying world. The amazing God we serve has allowed us to join in his story, in his narrative, the work he started long, long ago. You have what it takes. You have been given the fuel. Now go out and practice that in your backyards, in your workspace, in the grocery store, on the farm, in school. You have what it takes. You've been given the fuel. Practice. Let me pray for you. Father in heaven, thank you so much that you've given us the example to follow. And that example is Jesus. Jesus giving up all of who he was in exchange for our stained lives. God, you have given us all that we need for godliness. I pray that the Spirit will come alive in us, that we would go out and proclaim your gospel to the ends of the earth. In Jesus' name, God's people said, amen. Amen.